Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is October 10th, smack dab in the middle of the week. Here we are. I am traveling today, so don't forget, I won't be here tomorrow or Friday or Monday, actually. I won't be back yet. So I'm on my way to going, and then I'll be on my way to coming back. And I actually love both. I love leaving places and getting ready to go and putting everything in order. And then I really love coming back and just kind of being back home. It's always good to mix things up and put yourself out there. And, boy, that's going to be happening now. So I just wanted to share with you guys that we are doing Dream Theme Thursday today, because it is for twice now on Dream Theme Thursday, and to the same people. We have an additional one. The dreams that I've been doing, nobody's heard, and I can't figure it out, and I don't know what happened. I thought maybe it wasn't meant for their dreams, but I'm going to do them yet a third time. We're doing them today before I leave, and I'm going to get started because I have one person has dramatic dream one, two, and three. So here we go. Here's dramatic dream number one. It's from Susan in Germany, I think in Switzerland right now. So dramatic dream. I was looking down a trail alongside a mountain, estimating the dangers of it. Enthusiastic friends wanted to hike it, but I thought, no, I've seen this before. It's nuts. Chances are we get out alive are slim. Then my perception shifted. Suddenly I saw the reality of the situation. That meant the slope was on an overhang and completely not walkable. Everyone would fall off due to their lack of equipment and skill. I would already see them falling. Also, rocks started falling. Then my perception flipped back to what I saw before as soon as my friends started talking to me. I knew it could be done, but from bottom up, not followed my friends, I would see an episode of my life repeat. I knew precisely what it was about. The sensation of repetition, danger, and understanding was intense. Thanks for reading. Hugs to the group. Love you all. It does feel like, what is that movie, Groundhog Day, that you can foresee what's coming so you no longer need to do it? Most of the time, when you know what is coming, you know, if I date this person, I won't stay with them. You know, if I get this job, I don't want to be here forever. If I, you know, go here, I'm not going to be happy. Why do it? And we used to. We would take the job because we would say things like, at least someone offered me a job. I won't stay here forever. And you have no idea how many people I know who've said that, who've stayed there forever. And so it's an interesting thing, or a relationship where you know you don't want to get married, and you may not say that to the other person. Had the other person known, they may not have stayed with you because they may have different goals or different things. They may want children. They may want a family. So all these things, you know, they make a difference in who you're with. But if you can see it coming, like, I'm not going to marry this person, don't date them. Because you're going to end up having to leave after you've built something to nowhere. So just seeing that you can fall off and you can get hurt, maybe there's a way to do it, but it's not the way you've been doing it, that's a great sign. So now I guess it builds to dramatic dream number two. I was in a cabinet, a dungeon kind of building, underground, without a body. A man and a woman came to me and looked at me asking what kind of flesh and bone they should put on me. I made my choice like choosing a dress. Then I went through a phase of unconsciousness with respect to my body in which I saw a woman's face clearly. She looked like an Arc warrior woman, Artemis or Diane. She also was wearing a Roman or Greek helmet, all in primary colors. She looked really tough. Everything about this dream was dull and gloomy and gray. Yet I was super positive When I came to life in my new body, I was in a house where people were playing a game I did not understand. My boyfriend of 10 years ago wanted me to join, but I decided to leave. I went for my bike bags and noticed older ones. I had kept buying the same stuff over and over again, so now I had 3 sets of bags. But my boyfriend had been hiding them under his stuff. I was shocked and thought, what a waste of money. I could have used the old bags a long time ago. Everything about the part of this dream was old and worn, but I felt fresh and ready to go. Stay tuned. I feel we got more dreams coming. Same message or a new one. So it just seems it's a pendulum, either repeating in a place you don't want to be or can foresee, or you're brand new and you're starting over again. It's going one way to the other. It's like no matter what the circumstances are, you're still positive. You're still strong. The people that are coming to you are getting more where they can lead you in the second dream than the first dream, where you were with the same old. Now you're with new people, new skin, but also with old people. So there seems to be this, I don't know what to call it, like this, it's like a dividing line between your past and your present. But you're not really living in a present. You're either in the past or in the future. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I wish I could see a face that nods back at me, yes or no. But the reason I say that is the dreams are dramatic in the sense that on one side it's old and tried and done and even maybe sabotaged by the past. And then there's a future, everything that's going to come, that's great, that's great, that's great. And I'm doing great, new skin, new life, new house, new this, new that, new baggage over and over and over again. But what's going on today? And so we're going to the past and we're going to the future. Everything's either brand new or old. Dramatic dream number 3. I saw 2 huge sea turtles approaching me, making love underwater. I was breathing water. So there's like this supernatural feeling that you can do anything. You can climb the highest mountain and figure a way to get up, maybe not down, or to go down, not up. But you can sense danger. In the second dream, you experienced safety. You can sense that you were safe, even though you didn't have a body, and now you created, just like being born again, only a man and a woman, and it was more like, I want to say human way. It wasn't like you were born through another human. You were already here, but you were just the spirit. So it's kind of interesting how, you know, just being underwater and breathing, these extreme ways of being here. So we have, you know, they are dramatic, very dramatic. But when you look at it as a dream, dreams have very big ways of telling us things about ourselves and about our lives, like, hey, you know what? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and then take another one and then take another one and let yourself calm. You don't have to fly through fire hoops to be relevant or to be important, to be smart, or to be safe, or to be extraordinary. Every one of these dreams is just telling you to be you. Doesn't matter what anybody around you, the people who couldn't see the fact that they can really get hurt on the mountains, the stronger people who help put you together, and then you know, breathing water. you just need to be you, whatever that is. Take a lot of stock in who you are in our lives. When we are in a place that we want to feel special, we want to be special, we want to feel like we are relevant and we do matter and people do care about us and we are smart. And sometimes we like to feel like we're a little bit smarter than or more special, or we can see more than other people can see. But as you get to know people and you talk to people, fascinating, they know so much more than they look like they know. They don't have to be propped up somewhere with pictures of celebrities at their side or, you know, great venues, and all of it is beautiful. But when you talk to individual people, you find out they all have a body of work. And then you start to see that special in everybody. And it takes a lot of pressure off of you as a human being that you don't have to know everything for everybody. You just need to know what you need to know. And you can enjoy what you know. You can learn what you know. You can take your time doing it. And I remember when this happened, and I saw Christ, and if you want to talk about dramatic, and it wasn't even a dream, it was real, and it was dreams before it happened. So these could be that prelude to that change. But bigger than that, a sense of self-acceptance that goes so deep, so deep, that you start to see your life formulate, and you'll start to have these dreams that don't have to make you extraordinary to be special. You already are. And I don't say that lightly. Like, you know, people walk around and say, well, everybody's special. But I've talked to thousands of by now. Thousands. And I have yet to meet someone who didn't fascinate me in some way or surprise me. And I go, oh, my God, they know that. Oh, they know this. So look at how they're living. Even a person you might think is just a cog in the wheel and they're out gardening all day or whatever, and you stop and you talk to them and they're fascinating with what they know and what they've studied. Because we would be bored to death not doing those things. Dreams are great dreams in the sense that they're building a path of greatness in your mind for yourself. And you tend to like the extraordinary, and you got extraordinary in there for sure. But you're already very, very cool. And I happen to have met Susan a few times, and I already know that. And there's a lot of good in there that is getting harnessed into where it belongs. Know that. Know that about yourself. I have another dream, and I'm not sure if it's, I always read them and then find out they're anonymous. So I'm going to read this one, and then if it goes all the way through, I'll tell you, and it doesn't say keep it anonymous, we'll let it rip. Hi, Nadia. This is a dream I had a couple of weeks back. This is one of those dreams that you read and we couldn't hear the audio. I'm hoping you don't mind interpreting it again. I think this will be my third time. In the dream, I'm busy doing something, but I notice a happy, very young boy. The young, very young boy is before toddler age, and he's smiling and moving his mouth as if something is coming, if something is inside of his mouth. I look closer, and the saliva on his smiling lips tells me he has something in his mouth and is moving the object around. I go up to the happy, smiling boy and open his mouth. We lined up in a perfect row, completely filling his mouth. The wet grapes are all in tune, rhythmically moving back and forth like a weird commercial, completely filling his mouth. The grapes themselves seem alive. I think if I put one of the grapes out, then he might choke on the others because I physically cannot pull all the grapes out at the same time. I'm thinking of turning his head over, but I quickly decide to leave him alone. I walk back and look at the boy. The boy goes back to being happy once again, moving his mouth back and forth. I don't know what to do, so I think that I didn't see what I saw, so I'm going to try and see what's in his mouth once again. So again, I open his mouth, and one more time, all those grapes lined the inside of his mouth are happy. I close his mouth back up, and the boy is happy, and the boy is happy. I feel very concerned as if I should tell someone, but I don't know what to do, and then I wake up. Love and thank you so much, Eliana. So we know who that is. So, hey, Eliana, shout out to you, and thank you for waiting, because I think this is the third time I'm reading this dream. This dream is interesting. It's almost, we had Susan's really dramatic dreams that says, hey, take a breath. Take a breath. Enjoy where you're at. This one is telling you that things are okay around you, even if they may look like they're disheveled or not in order or why is this happening or whatever it is that goes on in our mind. I don't have control over anything. And yet, everything's okay. You may not like what's going on around you, but people need to have their own experiences. And sometimes we want to shape those experiences for people. We want to take control of what's going on around us because we're scared that it might not come out the way we want it to. And this is saying, hey, wait a minute, back up. It's okay to let the people around you go through what they need to go through to be the adults they need to be. It's not in your hands. And if you do go in and play around with it, you may mess it up for them. And not mess it up in a way you can see, but in a way that they need the experiences they need. They're not your experiences. They are theirs. All you are is a guide and a navigator, let's say to a child or to a sibling, even to a parent. Because as parents get older, we need to take care of them. But it's telling you let things alone. And there's an example I have for this, and that is when I got in the car accident and the people told me they weren't going to lie. Who starts off with, we're not going to lie? Because they knew it was their fault. They apologized and then said they weren't going to lie, and then they lied. And I had pictures to prove that they lied. And Christ said to me, let them lie. It's like the second or third time in my life that he has told me to let somebody else lie. So I did. I never turned in the pictures. I took the blame. They said they were just in moving traffic and they were flush stopped. How your life. So I got, I guess, what I needed from it. But what did they need from it? Apparently, they must have been lying a lot. Because that lie, I was said and asked to leave alone because they needed to experience the fruits of that lie that they've decided to do. I couldn't undo it for them. And I had a picture of their license. I wanted to go to their house and say to them, please don't lie about this in front of your child because it's your child who was in the car, your child who was driving, your child who made the decision, and you just took all the responsibility off of both of you and blamed me for something. But now I sound like, you know, those people. I didn't do it. But I was willing to do it so that they would understand that they shouldn't lie. Told me, no. No. Let them live out the lie so they understand why it's not worth it. So I left it alone. It wasn't my experience. And if you see someone doing something that you think is going to choke them, hurt them, bother them, be in their way, know that they're lined up. You can give your opinion. You can say what you feel. From heart, because that's when they will hear it. When you come from fear, they can't hear it because now they're already scared. They're going to be more scared. But you got to say, these are choices you've made. Give them responsibility for what they are doing. And I will be here if you need me. But there's nothing more I can do for you because I can't be with you 24 hours a day. And I don't live in your mind. So I can't be responsible, but I can help you. I can give you the best advice I have. I can tell you what I would do, but I can't be you. If I died tomorrow, you're going to have to find a way to live. This is a way to get you started. This is my gift to you, is letting you go through this. Autonomy. Autonomous. And what I love about these two dreams today is it's reeled us back into this moment. Because sometimes we focus on a grand future based on what we do today. But we got to live in today and build that future because our future will be exactly who we are today, only with other circumstances. If we put things off and wait to be happy, if we keep saying things are going to be better, we're going to be saying that 10 years from now if we don't think they're better already today. That makes sense. I have one more dream, and I wanted to get to it because I got to read it to you. It's amazing. So it says, "Hi, Nadia. I listened to a couple of your audio early morning shows today about dreams and what they can tell us. So I'm sharing with you privately mine. I had this dream 8 years ago and drew a simple sketch of it. I saw myself standing on a stage and speaking something that seemed to be very important. And there were audiences, and I saw in their hearts that some of their light dimmed and others no light in their heart, and some had a heart on fire. Fast forward to this day, God has still reminded me of that dream, and in 2011, God whispered in my ears that I would be writing a book, but I was skeptical since I didn't believe in myself and wasn't good in English to even write a book. But God kept reminding me of that dream till today. Last year, before my son ended his life on earth, I had angel visits from the seraphim angels and an angel named Emmanuel. I saw a thick, ancient book on Angel Emmanuel's hand and that he looked in guarding it, and I asked the angel what it was for. He said, oh, it says her name, and she wanted this private. So it said her name. This is something for you to do. Then they left in the thin air without extra information about the contents of the book. But I was already writing my book then. Then another unknown lady phoned me one day. I don't know what just happened to my computer. Phoned me one day and shared with me her vision about a scroll in a book that I will be writing. And I started crying because it felt like God is convincing to or confirming to me about this dream. Then after my oldest son died to suicide this year in March, I went on angry mode at God and the situation and yelling about the situation. Then God also reminded me again of the dream. Then I asked God to send me a human being and not angels this time to confirm if this dream is going to come true or not, but that it confirms to me that I'm not talking to myself or hallucinating or justifying my own thoughts. Next day, I got up and she wanted to meet me at a coffee shop. We did, and finally she shared with men her vision, or with me, her vision that is exactly the same vision from 8 years ago about me standing on a stage giving a speech. Then she said she saw something interesting that I didn't see in my vision. She said she saw my late son above me and watching over me. She saw the book I was giving a speech about and was interviewed by some organization. She even saw the color of my clothing I was wearing for that event, and I asked her for the color, what the color was. And we both said it at the same time that I was wearing a brown pencil skirt and white long sleeve top. So I felt like this dream is coming true, and part of me is scared of the responsibility that comes with it. People are asking me if I have finishing writing the two books. I am currently putting one of them on lulu.com as an ebook. So this is what is currently happening in some aspect of my life. I don't know if you have any wisdom to put with this. I'd appreciate it if you do. Thank you, Nadia. When you have dreams like this, or visions, and people are validating it, and angels are coming, and everyone's telling you, and it's hard for you to believe, I have to say it again, take a deep breath. And this is when trust, when the rubber meets the road with trust. I had, when I first saw Christ's visions, and that was 16 years ago, but those visions are preparation, especially when they get validated all over the place. Can't believe it. We believe it. But we don't understand how time works. And that's when you learn it's not a right time. There is a ripe, R-I-P-E, time. And when all events come together, what needs to happen can happen. And you know, you had the vision before you obviously knew that your son would take his life, which I can't tell you how sorry I am about that. And I knew when it happened, and it just, it's hard to believe. And at a young age, and plan, and part of your understanding of God, and he, whether you realize it or not, helped you understand God, because it allowed you to be angry, because so many people are scared to be angry at God. And yet we suppress that. And then we just say we love God and we'll take whatever happens to us. And that's great. But when you can feel a full range of emotion towards God, you are in a safety with God. Whatever you saw, it's developing. And they told you you'd write a book. You're writing a book. They told me I'd be an author. And I don't even know how I became one. I just kept waking up and writing. I think the book wrote me. And it's happening to you. So just, and this is what something Christ said to me, and I'm going to say it to you. Do what you think you need to do every day. And this will all come when it needs to come. It will show up in the stages, in the times that you needed to do so. But this is all about trust. Susan's dream, Eliana's dream, and this dream. The theme of today is trust, trust, trust that God has your back, because he does. Time and do your best in the present moment. Don't worry about what's coming, because that's a huge undertaking. You guys, I have 10 seconds. I will see you next Tuesday morning. I love you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.